You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I haven't teed it up yet this season. I hope to get out there. I have Thursday off. The next 2 weeks are going to be insane for me because of the NFL draft. I'm not complaining about it. If you know anything about me, these are two of my favorite weeks of the year. And I've done a lot of prep and hosted a lot of shows, getting ready for the draft. And I feel like I'm really in the know and hopefully sharing that knowledge with you guys here on 98.7 ESPN. But I hope to get out there on Thursday. Anyway, all right, let's break down the show for you. There's a lot of topics to get to. I mean, and we're kind of blessed because this isn't necessarily, you know, the biggest time of the year when it comes to our sports calendar, but there's a lot to get to. Mark Berman is going to join us. We're going to talk Knicks and some NBA with you. Of course, we've got both teams back in action later on this afternoon. The Knicks are taking on the Pelicans, which is going to be fun. Julius Randle coming off a 44-point game. He's just been money from downtown. The Knicks 17-10 at home. And of course, Zion comes to New York City, averaging 27 points. So we'll talk to Mark about the Knicks. Big conversation we had yesterday in regard to the Knicks making money moves and moving up. They're at six right now. If the season was to end today, they'd be in the sixth seed, the sixth spot for the postseason. They're tied with Atlanta and Boston, which means if they continue to win and their schedule moving forward, nine of their next 11 games are at home. Their final four games are pretty tough, as I said yesterday. Denver, Phoenix, the Clippers, and Lakers. Those are pretty tough. But listen, there's a chance if they continue to play as well as they have. Don't be surprised if they ended up as the four seed. I wouldn't be surprised. So we're going to talk to Mark. He's coming our way at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. So excited to get him on. We haven't had him on in a while. Good friend of mine, Bill Barnwell, is going to join us at the top of the 11. Talk some NFL win-loss totals that came out this week, as well as we'll get into some NFL draft talk. And Joe Wiz, we're on with you until 12:30, leading into that Knicks-Pelicans game. So Joe Wiz will join us at the top of the hour at high noon with some Knicks plays and picks for you as well. Obviously, we're going to get into a lot of Yankees talk. I know we'll get a lot of Yankees calls. Yankee fans, I'm sure, really upset in regard to the fact that now they've lost four straight. They lost to the Rays yesterday, 6-3. They're 5-9 AL worst right now. Garrett Cole's on the bump today. Does that give you any hope? It should. 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA, but the rest of the rotation, 1-6 with a 6.39. So we'll definitely get in some Yankees talk as well. But some interesting news that came out yesterday, and I'm going to have a good friend of mine, Carl Francis, join us on the show from the NFLPA at 9:30. And so this is why I want to bring you up to speed and start with this topic today, because and D. Smith was on with Hannah Storm on SportsCenter yesterday. And we're going to play some clips if you missed that interview. This is huge. Understand something, that the new collective bargaining agreement that was decided on. I always say this. I didn't like the old collective bargaining agreement that was decided on with the players. Okay. I felt like, you know, less practice, less contact at practice equals a not so great product or an inferior product. And I think, you know me, I love football. I'm not someone who's sitting here telling you, oh, the product stinks, I'm not going to watch. No, you know me, I'm going to watch. I try to watch every game. I gamble on every game. I love the sport. You know me. Okay? But the product isn't as good. I mean, especially if you're somebody out there who's my age, grew up watching the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys and Ronnie Lott and 49ers and, you know, the Raiders, they'd come to play with like chains and stuff. I mean, it's a different game. The physicality isn't the same. Dudes don't know how to tackle anymore. Running backs, they don't pride themselves on pass protection. Tight ends, they want to score touchdowns. They don't want to block downfield. I mean, the game has just changed. The physicality has changed. And so what's one of the things that the players argue about in collective bargaining agreement? Oh, you know, less practices, less practice time. We don't, no live practice time. anyway. So I didn't like that with the last collective bargaining agreement that came out. Okay. Now, this one that they just recently agreed to, a few things. Side note, you know, gambling now is, and if you know anything about me, again, you listen to my shows, you know, part of the gambling platform at ESPN, host a gambling show on Friday nights here called Weekend Wager. Gambling is where sports is headed. Okay? This is where, across the board, every sport, this is where sports is headed. It's about the gambling content. It's about the gambling platform. Eventually, so you might be aware of this. So players wear these little devices, these little tracking devices, right? GPS devices on their shoulder pads at practice. And so the analytics that teams are able to assess and look at practice video and stats, how fast a player is practicing. You know, they can, it's very interesting. They'll keep a log of what a player eats and how a player practices, and they'll equate, all right, well, listen, when you ate this, this is how you practice. When you ate that, this is how you practiced. It's really phenomenal what they're able to do with these little GPS tracking devices and the stats that they're able. Eventually, players are going to be using these in games where we're going to have the stats made available to us in live, real time, and we're going to be able to gamble. Brace yourself. This is coming. We're going to be able to gamble on how fast a player runs. So you'll be able to gamble whether or not Derrick Henry, in the course of a game, surpassed 20 miles an hour. Marinating that for a minute. You're going to be able to gamble in a game if, give me an outstanding linebacker. Let's go Blake Martinez. I like Blake Martinez. I know he's good. He's not outstanding. He's good at linebacker here in New York. You'll be able to gamble, Giants fans, you'll be able to gamble in a game how hard Blake Martinez tackles a player. There'll be an over-under. And you'll be able to gamble on that. Well, the players in the last collective bargaining agreement, they didn't tap into that. What was more important, and it just blows my mind, so when that happens, the NFL, what the NFL and the ownership and what they're going to make in regard to money monetarily from just owning the gambling content, and keep in mind, this week, the NFL has already aligned themselves with a number of gambling platforms, DraftKings, William Hill, so the players lost out on that. What was more important to them? Fewer practices, fewer physical practices. Didn't want to be at the facility a lot. Listen, I get it. Pick your battles, but dudes, it's all about the Benjamins. At the end of the day, it's all about the money. And I feel that they did themselves a disservice. This is the second time that they went into a collective bargaining agreement, and I feel they missed the ball. My own two cents. This is my own opinion. On top of that, players across the board are ticked off that now there's going to be a 17-game season. Now, you've got over half the league that have come out and said that they're not going to participate in OTAs this year. The NFLPA and D. Smith, who I have respect for, Carl Francis, who works alongside D. Smith and is part of the NFLPA, is going to be joining us in 15 minutes, came out this week and said he agrees with the players skipping the voluntary offseason workouts. They're called voluntary OTAs. Some guys, for example, the Packers, all the players that get incentives in regard to the Packers collectively, they're missing out on $5 million in regard to missing OTAs. Coaches are saying show up. Players are saying no. Why? Well, apparently the reports are it's because of COVID-19. Okay. And what they want to do, what the NFLPA is saying is that the first 4 weeks to be virtual. Players shouldn't have to go into the facility. But my question is in knowing and how the organizations in the NFL teams ran their facilities, I'll tell you what, talking to a number of the reporters, there was no safer place than at the facility in the way that they ran their facility. Let's be honest. The NFL and Roger Goodell and the teams did a phenomenal job last season in regard to handling COVID-19. So I'm not buying it. I think my own two cents, is I think the players are upset with the 17-game schedule. And they're saying, you know what? Screw you. I'm not going to OTAs. I'm not going to OTAs. The Giants, they're supposed to have 10 OTAs in 3 minicamps. Giants, by the way, Giants players and Jets players are a part of this. They're saying no OTAs. Also, think about this. Think about how much change we had in free agency. And now you're telling me that... So now this really, really gets interesting. Patriots. There's a Patriots player who says, Bill tells me to report, I report. I'm keeping a close eye on the Patriot players. There was no bigger mover and shaker in regard to free agency than the Patriots and Bill Belichick and all the players they signed in free agency. You're telling me those players aren't going you're telling me those players aren't going to show up for OTAs and minicamp? This is going to get interesting.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm working from my home studio. We've got Ty and Michael, who are producing the show, back in New York, and I've got SportsCenter on right now, and they're showing clips of Steph Curry. And in the break, I said to Ty, "Can we just marinate in the fact that Steph Curry couldn't get a college scholarship anywhere?" I was in Baltimore, Maryland, hosting Sports Talk Radio, and the head coach of Towson University was in my studio one day, and he said that he offered Steph Curry a scholarship, and 2 weeks after he offered him the scholarship, he took it off the table because he felt he was too small, and he just felt his endurance, he wouldn't be able to last in the paint. And so Towson University was one of the very few colleges that offered Steph Curry a scholarship, and then took it off the table 2 weeks later because they felt they just worried about his size. And they went to Davidson. And of course, we know what happened there. It's just unbelievable. It's just, and you see what he's able to do in the NBA. And I know there's, you know, you can sit and argue. I know everybody feels that LeBron James is the best player in the NBA, and he possibly pretty much is. But I think people can make an argument for Steph Curry in regard to this generation. 800-919-3776. Before we get to Ira, Ty, I know you're a huge Jets fan. And I'm just sharing with you in regards to the Jets and Giants are part of this collaboration of teams that are boycotting OTAs. We're talking about 10 OTAs in three mini camps. Now, there's a number of teams, especially the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, the Jets, Zach Wilson, the 49ers, either Mac Jones or Justin Fields, whatever side of the coin you're on. Atlanta might draft Trey Lance. And Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, very little experience in playing football. They're like one-year wonders, these two dudes. I mean, you've got to have, and now Sam Darnold's traded, you've got to have huge concern that a lot of these rookie quarterbacks for these top four teams that are going to be drafting aren't going to attend OTAs or minicamps?
I thought about that during the break because you posed it to me, but I can't be overly concerned with that. You'll have your virtual meetings, and then when it's time for everyone to congregate in person, it'll be what it is. I don't think this is going to be some make or break situation for Zach Wilson as far as him being able to acclimate himself with the Jets, the culture, and his teammates and the coaching staff. I'm not overly concerned about OTAs, to be quite honest. But I hear your point.
I am
not something that, like, would it be better if everyone was in attendance? Sure. But is it a huge deal if they don't show up? For me, no, not really.
Is it? But let me ask you this: is it not a huge deal because your expectations for the Jets this year are what, 6-7 wins?
No,
right?
Sure, but I don't. I just don't put that much stock into OTAs to begin with. And I hear that there's a little more significance because, again, it's a new regime, rookie quarterback coming in. The entire roster has been reshaped and reformed. So I get it from that standpoint. But just as a fan, like, you look at, you said yesterday, right, the over-under is 6 wins for the Jets. I'm not going to then subtract wins away because these guys aren't showing up for OTAs. I just don't view it as something that is of consequence at all.
I think this is going to hurt not just Zach Wilson, but a number of these rookie quarterbacks that are, again, expected to be drafted in the top 4, 5, 10 picks for teams. If their team, again, I want to say it's a little over right now. I think there's 18 of the 32 teams And I don't have the list in front of me in regard to exactly who all the 18 teams are. I do know for a fact the Jets and Giants are part of that. By the way, the Michael Kay Show is celebrating its new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Every weekday in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the Kay Cash Sounder and be ready to call in to claim $500 cash. It's all for your home for the hookup. And it's 98.7 ESPN. Let's get to our phone lines before we bring in Carl Francis coming your way in about 5 minutes. Ira. Ira, what say you this morning, my friend? Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. Good morning. You know, I totally agree with Ty, and I understand your concerns. I get it. I mean, you would like them to get acclimated before training camp. But I look at what the NFLPA put out, and if their facts are right, and I'm sure they are, 30% less concussion rate and 23% less injury rate without some of that spring ball last year. Maybe that part of it has to play into it, and I'm older than you. And I go back to the days when these guys were school teachers in the off season, and then they just showed up in the the end of July, and they got themselves into shape and played football. And I think it didn't hurt. I mean, look at Justin Herbert, and you know he could be the exception. I don't expect Zach Wilson to turn into Justin Herbert or Trey Lance or any of these guys. But at the end of the day, I do agree that less time on the field in the long run actually may be better because. The last thing you want is all of a sudden your first or second round pick going out in a non-contact drill and he tears his ACL and you see it year after year after year. So if the quality of the game doesn't decrease, I'm all for the players not showing up for spring ball and just doing it virtually.
Interesting, Ira. I respectfully disagree, especially, and thank you for your phone call this morning. Appreciate you, my friend. Especially for rookie quarterbacks. And you mentioned Herbert. Understand, like, Herbert came in, he wasn't the starter. You know, he came in because they accidentally punctured the lung of Tyrod Taylor with a painkiller injection. So, Justin Herbert had a few weeks into the season to learn and develop behind Tyrod Taylor. Keep that in mind. So... I find this to be quite interesting.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's go to Mario. Calling in from Miami. All right. Mario, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. How's it going? I'm actually from Jersey City, but I'm on vacation for a couple of weeks here in Miami. So.
Oh, nice. Where in Miami?
I'm in the Wynwood, like, Edgewater area. Kind of by Biscayne Boulevard. But yeah, somewhere in basically Miami.
Nice. Nice. Enjoy.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Julius Randle thing. I'm the biggest Nets fan. I try to be objective as possible. I'm a Knicks hater. But the way they kind of came together and Julius Randle's been so consistent and like he played, like out of a lot of the people that are doing great this year, he's played probably the most games. I think it's got to be between him and Embiid, Jokic. And then the Nets thing with the Harden, like, he hasn't played enough games. Nobody on the Nets played the whole, like, not even close to the whole season. Like, I don't think they're going to end with, like, a half the season, like, half the games. So, like I said, I tried to be objective, and, like, Randle, I got to give it to him. Like, he's been, like, really consistent, and I think he sat down, like, three or four games at one point, and the Knicks couldn't do anything. Like, he's... obviously the best guy on their team. So it's got to be, like, he's probably top three, I believe. Even though, like, in the beginning of the season, I would have never thought that. But you got to give him some credit.
I give him a ton of credit. And, Mario, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for listening down there in Miami while you're on vacation. That's really, really kind of you. Again, I'm going to give Julius Randle a ton of credit. A ton of credit. I want to bring in Ty. Ty is producing the show. Ty and Michael, and Ty, huge NBA fan.
Huge.
I mean, I know. You're probably, beside you and Alan, you and Alan Hahn. I mean, two of our biggest NBA guys on the station.
Andrew Gundling, too. Big NBA fan. Underrated. But go ahead. Continue.
When I think of Andrew, I think of the Eagles. It's more so in soccer. When I think of Andrew, but regardless, we've derailed. I mean, I'm curious to get your thoughts here. I mean, we're getting calls hand over fist here in regard to, folks calling in and defending Randle. Do you think they're, like, give me a percentage chance that you think he has to win the MVP this season?
Randle has been fantastic this year, especially when you juxtapose how he was a season ago. Knicks fans wanted him out of town ASAP. The commentary surrounding Randle was dribbling into double teams, spin move, throws the ball either to the other team, or best case scenario, out of bounds, worst case scenario, he's throwing it to the other team. And to see him go from where he was last year to this year, I mean, he deserves all the credit in the world. So much so, I'm watching the broadcast last night for Celtics-Warriors. Van Gundy just, you know, in love with who Julius Randle has become this year. And he, again, he deserves a ton of credit. The idea that he should be in the MVP conversation, to me, is lunacy. You're not going to give the MVP to a player on a team that's three games above 500 in the Eastern Conference, especially mm-hmm. when you're getting an historic season from Nikola Jokic in Denver. Joel Embiid has been probably the best player in the league this year. You know, LeBron's been hurt. Offensively and defensively, what he brings to the table, he has been spectacular. Julius Randle's not an MVP. He's been great. Most improved player, you know, all-star, all-NBA team. Check, check, check. MVP, no thank you. That's not going to happen.
I could see him winning the most improved player award.
Yeah, I just said that, but not the MVP. That's not going to happen.
Right. And again, you know, I don't think it's a knock on him, but it's just that the Knicks aren't competing for a championship. And time again, typically you see that award to go to teams that are, you know, that are have a really good chance and more than likely are going to be favored to win a championship. And it's not just in the NBA. It's across the board. You see it in the NFL as well. You know, and this is why I've got some issues in regard to some of the awards that we give out there and some of the things that we claim certain players are when it comes to team sports.
Yeah, it's typically going to really come from a player on a team that is a top two seed. Only three times in the history of the league has the MVP come from a team that wasn't a top two seed. And that's not going to happen this year with Julius Randle. He's been a great player. The Knicks have exceeded expectations. But he's not the MVP. He's not.
800-919-3776. Let's go to John, calling him from Harlem. John, welcome in.
Welcome. How are you doing? Thank you, Anita. How's everything?
Great. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, I want to chime in. We know for real it's a real inherent bias against the New York Knicks organization down to the players. A recent example is with R.J. Barrett. It's like, how could he not have been on one of the first or second team last year in the top 25? They don't put him on. That's the example. But so Julius Randle definitely is not going to get a fair consideration for MVP. He should. Realistically, it's not going to happen. But like I said, it's just an inherent bias. Hopefully, it will stop.
Why do you think, John? Let me ask you why do you think that exists? What is your reasoning as to why you think that exists? The bias.
Well, for one reason is the fact that New York Knicks organization has been failing for so long. So psychologically, people have become conditioned to them losing. Even when they see a little slight transformation, they can't really adjust and admit it. Just like with R.J. Barrett, kept doing the same thing with him. But people have to stop, like give credit where credit is due. They have to ask themselves. But I really think that ESPN, more probably any show, really sit where y'all pregame is like, let's really make the Knicks suck. Let's really, that's the focal point. Like, you know what I'm saying? But hopefully it will stop.
Interesting, John.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, we just need to play better. I mean, they're a really good team over there that's kind of kicked our butts here the last couple years. And you know, we got to do a better job of you know, closing out some games when we have a chance. Obviously, they've been a team that's very good at limiting runs the last couple of years. And, you know, they've, you know, today, you know, it was pretty evenly matched game, but they hit a few balls in the seats. When they got their mistakes, they put them in the seats today. And, you know, hopefully we can start to turn that tide tomorrow.
It's Aaron Boone talking about, of course, the Yankees going up against the Rays. They lose again last night, 6-3. They've lost four straight. They're 5-9. That's their record. The Rays 7-1 at Yankee Stadium since the start of 2020, and they've won 17 of 22 since September of 2019. Wow. By the way, just want to remind you, Jets Nation, get back to live football at MetLife Stadium this season. In case you missed it, the Jets are hosting an additional regular season home game in 2021. And when you buy season tickets, you'll secure that extra game for no added cost. You also get exclusive season ticket holder benefits, including free food, beverage, and merchandise credit used on game days. So make sure you lock in your seats today at nyjets.com or call 1-800-469-JETS. 800-919-3776 is the phone number. Again, Garrett Cole on the bump today for the Yankees. First pitch is at 1 o'clock. 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA. The other pitchers in the rotation 1-6 with a 6.39 ERA. No Sanchez today, by the way, and also Luke Voit. I know he's been dealing with that knee meniscus injury. Expected to do some hitting on Monday. Now, yesterday, we had David Lennon on from Newsday, and one of the questions I posed to him was, you know, last season, you know, one of the big conversations, and we knew that CeCe Sabathia was going to retire, was, all right, who's going to step in the clubhouse heading into this year and be that leader in the clubhouse? Because, you know, when a team is struggling, I know there's an ebb and flow to a Major League Baseball season. We know that. But when a team is struggling like the Yankees are, you need those leaders in that clubhouse to kind of, you know, get the ship moving in the right direction. I mean, there's a lot of times you hear where clubs, you know, player only meeting, and you hear it a lot more so in Major League Baseball than you do in the NFL and other sports. You know, Aaron Boone, obviously you heard his frustration just now in the clip that we played. Is it going on deaf ears? You know, before we started the show, Ty and I were talking about it. And I know Boone's been with the club, Ty, what do you say, 4 years now, right? You know, I don't think that's a very long time. One might feel it is. I don't. But, like, you know, is he, you know, is he drowned out now? Is his voice, is he able to motivate? Is he able to get to the guys in the clubhouse to help turn this around? He had a few calls yesterday, upset with Boone. Upset with, you know, leadership, upset with some of the decisions that he's made. I still think the season is early. Also, you know, I said in regard to pulling a pitcher too early, leaving a pitcher in too long, you know, substituting a batter. We don't know exactly what the percentage is in regard to a lot of these managers and how much they follow their statistic gurus and brainiacs within the ball clubs. We just don't know. But at the end of the day, something is wrong here. You know, this is too good of a roster. This is too good of a rotation. This is too good of a lineup, more importantly, for them to be sitting at 5-9. And something needs to change. And you thought maybe, you know, after the disappointing loss to the Rays the other night, 8-2, and Boone was evidently, obviously very upset, and apparently the guys got a talking to, that they'd come out this last game and turn things around. It didn't look much better. Maybe a little bit, but not much. And lost 6-3. Yankee fans, how concerned are you? Again, I love the promo that we're playing right now in regard to Michael Kay. Michael Kay's got his finger on the pulse of this team better than anyone. Let's be honest. He still is confident, and he believes that the Yankees are going to win the division. But here's another thing. At what point, especially if the Boston Red Sox start running away with this thing, and I know it's a long season, I get that, but, you know, at what point do you start saying, oh, and really, really start having some huge concerns? Because if you recall, Ty, you and I talked about it when the season started, right? Like, what's the expectation for the Yankees this year? What do you say? World Series or bust? World Series or bust?
Correct.
So, have you been able to wrap your head around or,
no.
Or Because I know you help produce a lot of the other shows, and I'm sure that they have a lot of guests on talking about the Yankees. I mean, you know, what's you know, what's the feel in regard to, you know, some of the other analysts that we've had on talking about the Yankees that they feel the issue is?
Well, I go no further than I saw beat writers on Friday night saying this team is unwatchable. We had David Lennon of Newsday on the show yesterday. He says they lack energy. There's no excitement with this team right now. And it's like you try to find the healthy balance between understanding 14 games into a year where you're going to play 162. How are you going to sit here and panic? It makes no sense to do that, especially for a team with this much talent. But it just feels like the same issues continue to plague them every year. They're not a sound defensive team. They don't run the bases well. Outside of Gerrit Cole, the pitching rotation is a huge question mark. They tax the bullpen. The offense, you can't get guys in with runners in scoring position. So it's the same story over and over again. But then you look at it and you say, wait, the last two full seasons, the Yankees won 100-plus games. Last year, you know, they got to the playoffs, got to the American League Division Series, and then lost to the better team. So we know they can get it done. It's just they look a total mess right now, and it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing, but I'm not going to go too crazy.
800-919-3776. Let's take your calls. Let's go to Anthony in Long Island. Anthony, welcome in.
Hey, Anita, thanks for taking the call. It's 100% time to sound the alarm. I know it's early. I don't know what Michael Kay is watching. I think he's a little too involved to give a fair opinion. This is a terrible, terrible baseball team. That's just the fact. They're weak defensively up the middle where you need to be strong. Shortstop, they're below average. Catching, below average. I'm talking about defensively. Center field, average at best. Now, their best hitters are home run or strikeout guys. Aaron Judge, I like him, home run or strikeout guy. I just don't see how the pitching is a total mess. It's a total mess. I mean, outside of Cole, who every 5-6 days is going to give you a quality start, hopefully, I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get in Italian, in a Kluber. I mean, I'm incredibly worried. I don't even think this team is going to win. I know you're a betting woman. If the over-under was like 85.5 games totally won this year, I'd take the under. I don't think this team is going to win 85 games. I really don't. I don't see how it's going to happen. And everybody's telling me, oh, don't worry about it. It's early. It's 16 games in. When somebody shows you who they are, you have to believe them. The Yankees are showing you they're not a good baseball team. It's just the truth. And they're in a division that is a tough division. They got to play Tampa. They got to play Toronto. Toronto has unbelievable hitting. They got Guerrero Jr. They got Bichette. These guys are raking the ball, man. And then you got Tampa, who's the underdog that plays the Yankees tough every time. You're not going to get an easy game against Tampa. So I don't see where these wins are coming from. Tell me where, Michael Kay. I don't see it. I really don't. And it's getting to the point now that this is almost impossible to watch. It really is. I mean, you're seeing guys go up there. It's like Paul O'Neill said it the other night. The shortstop. I forget his name. He said he's on his heels.
Gleyber Torres?
The ball out of the park. Yeah, I mean, every swing, he's looking to hit the ball 450 feet. Where's the guys putting the ball into play? Where's the guys that are just making contact?
You know, Anthony, a lot of... I hear you, and I hear your frustration. You know, again, you know, a lot of times, you know, when a team has this type of skid, again, you know, they've lost four straight. Guys try to do too much. They try to be heroes. And again, I don't know if that's what the issue is with Torres or not, but we see it time and time again. In looking at the American League East, Boston at the top right now, 10-4, Orioles, Toronto, and Tampa. How about the Orioles, 7-8? What's going on? 7-8. And then the Yankees 5-9, which, you know, add insult to injury. Not only do they have the worst record in the American League East, but the worst record in the American League. You've got the Rangers at 6-9. You've got Detroit at 6-9. Minnesota, Chicago is at 6-8. But you know, you mentioned gambling. I was looking for the win loss total. I came across the American League East division winner. You could get Yankees right now at -160. Okay, so what does that mean? It means if you're putting $100 down, you're winning. If you're putting $100 down, you're winning $62.50. Ty, we did this with the Knicks. We're playing with house money now, right? We did this, what, 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
When the Knicks were, you and I were, we were talking about, should we put $100 down on the Knicks to make the playoffs? And that was at +120, +125 at that point?
Sure.
Right? And then we were deciding that, or the Mavs to not make the playoffs. We decided to go to the Knicks to make the playoffs. So we're playing with house money now.
Okay.
So we've got $100 to play with. Marinating this in the break. Or maybe we'll wait and we can make this decision at the end of the show. Okay? With our house money, our team show house money, if I should put $100 down on the Yankees to win the division at minus, they're still at -160 to win the division, which means I'm putting $100 down for our show to win $62.50.
Yes.
So marinating that. Okay, maybe you let me know if we'll open up the phone lines, 800-919-3776. Yankee fans, you know, you listen to 98.7 ESPN. I'm sure you listen to the Michael Kay Show. Guys, do me a favor, before we come back from our next break, play that promo that's out there right now. Michael talking about the wager that he made with the investment or the donation to the charity. And you know, are these good odds at -160, which means you have to $100 to win $62.50 that the Yankees are still going to win the American League East.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Joe is joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Joe, kind of share with the folks exactly when your shows air. How can they find you? When can they listen?
The Fine Line is the show, 60 Minutes. We're on Friday nights, normally at midnight on Friday nights. And again, I'm on at Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. That's The Fine Line. Daryl and myself are on. We talk about all the games and everything. We hope we can make some people money between your show and my show, Anita. People should be making tons and tons of money.
Yeah, they should. With that being said, let's start with the Knicks because they tip off right here on 98.7 ESPN at 1 o'clock. The pregame show comes your way in just about, 23 minutes. So the Knicks getting one at home, over-under is 218.5. Do you have a play in this game?
Absolutely. This is a quick turnaround from Wednesday where the Knicks won at Smoothie King. They won that game 116-106. And either right now, the Knicks are the hottest team in the NBA, and they have one of the best spread records in all of the NBA. They have a season best, 3 games over .500. And against the spread, it either they're 35-21. The spread's not going to be much of a factor here because the line is Knicks getting one. I'm not sure why they have the Pelicans favored in this game here, other than that Zion is making his appearance to the Garden. There was some dreams years ago that he would be playing for the Knicks, and Lonzo Ball making his audition to possibly be playing for the Knicks next season here. The line is at 1. The total is at 218. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. The Pelicans have gone over 60% of the time, and the Knicks have gone over 3 straight, and even though the Knicks play a good defense, I think this is going to be an offensive showcase. You're going to play over the total. Sit back, watch the game, or listen to the game right here on 98.7, and look for a high-scoring game similar to what we saw Wednesday night when the game went over 116-106. This game was over the total again, over 218.
Interesting. Okay, so if you like the over, there's some over, you know me, I'm all about the prop bets. There's some over-under prop bets out there that I'm looking. Julius Randle has just been a man possessed, right? 44 points on Friday against Dallas. Over-under 26.5. I like the over here also. Dude's been money from downtown. Over-under 2.5 three-pointers. It's probably my favorite wager in this matchup is over 2.5 three-pointers for Randle. Thoughts?
Yeah, Randle has been on fire, and as you mentioned, he's averaging 38 points per game in the last 3 games, including 44 at Dallas. I mean, right now, Randle is on fire, and so are the Knicks. And this is an important game for the Knicks. They're looking to secure that number 6 seed and avoid getting into the play-in for the playoffs. So I'm looking for the Knicks to come out good, but I think that both teams are going to score a lot of points in this game.
Also, some other R.J. Barrett over under 18.5 points, over under 3.5 three-pointers for him as well. Brandon Ingram has been excellent as well. I kind of like the over in his point total, 23.5. Also, I neglected to say, Julius Randle, double-double, you can get it, minus 138. That's not a lot of juice, Joe. That's not a lot of juice.
No, it's not. And Randle right now, him and the Knicks, Randle's the reason why the Knicks are playing as well as they are. And this is a big six-game homestand for the Knicks. They could put some separation here and put some pressure on this, get securing that seat. Thibodeau has done a great job, and nobody can tell me that a head coach doesn't make a difference here. And you got to give a lot of credit to the management of the New York Knicks organization. We finally got a good team to root for in New York.
Also, on the opposite side, in regards to the Pelicans, Zion, over under 26.5. I'll be honest with you, I'm leaning more towards the under because I really like this Knicks defense. And, you know, coming off a big win against Dallas, I love the way that they're playing right now. So I'm going under Zion 26.5. I think it'll be close. Over under rebounds for Zion is 7.5, and a double-double for Zion is +205. Any of those that you like or don't like?
I think Zion's going to put on a show here. It's just, you know, he was very upset when he didn't get the Knicks didn't have the opportunity to draft him. But, you know, I think that with Lonzo Ball and Zion, Lonzo's coming in to showcase to see if he'll be for the Knicks next year. Wizards are the Pelicans are coming off of a loss to the Wizards, 117-115. Zion's going to try and come out and play. And like it says, the Pelicans 35 overs and just 20 unders for the season. Look for the scoreboard operator to be very busy this afternoon.
All right, let's take a look at the Nets. We know they're in Miami going up against the Miami Heat. Nets are favored by 3. Over-under is 224. KD and Kyrie are supposed to be active. How attractive they're going to be? Well, we hope very. But we know that Harden is still on the bench. Your thoughts on this game?
You know, as long as we have Durant and Irving in the lineup, I think the Nets will be able to handle Miami. As you know, I very rarely play favorites here, but the totals game is at 3. The line is game is at 3. The totals are 223, some 24s. I looked online right before we came on the show to see what the injury report is. Oladipo is out. He's been out for Miami. And, of course, Butler is a game-time decision, and that's always going to be an important factor here. But I can't trust Miami right now. They are 23-33 against the spread. They've lost 3 in a row, including a loss to the lowly T-Wolves, 119-111. Even though the Brooklyn Nets lost to the Sixers in that big game earlier in the week, they're just one game behind the Sixers for the number one seed, and they still want to get that number one seed and retain, get the home court advantage for the Eastern Conference here. I think that Brooklyn puts a major emphasis and takes care of Miami, and we're going to find out how good the Nets are as 10 of their next 13 games are on the road here. I think Brooklyn comes in, they're rested. As long as Irving and Durant play, they roll over the Heat.
Prop bet here that I'm looking at is Kyrie over threes. It's only at 2.5. So I really like that a lot. So Kyrie over threes at 2.5. Any other NBA bets you like today?
The NBA, like I said, it's very tricky because you have to pay attention to what's going on with all the line movements and all that stuff. I mean, I haven't really seen anything other than this, too. I really like the over in the Knicks game, over 218, which starts here in about an hour, and I'm comfortable with playing the Nets. I don't like to play too many games. If I can go 2-0 in the NBA, I'll be very happy, Anita.
Will you tease? I mean, will you parlay that? You feel comfortable parlaying those as well?
Parlay is generally not what I like to do. We do advocate. We do push them sometimes on my show because everybody likes to put parlays. But normally what I like to do is I like to bet straight bets because worst case scenario, just say if you play two games and you go 1-1, you can live for another day, you juice out. But, you know, if one team wins and one team loses and you're betting the parlay, all of a sudden you have a losing ticket. So generally I don't like betting parlays every day. Sometimes as a side bet I like to make a parlay, but I prefer to bet the game straight.
All right, last one with you, or I should say last one for you, is the Yankees. We know that they've been struggling, but Gerrit Cole is back on the bump today, and he's just been sensational. Yankees are favored by 2.5, even though the Rays have had a lot of success against them for quite a few years now. So do you have a play in this Yankees-Rays matchup?
It's amazing how much the Rays have dominated the Yankees, Anita. I mean, the Rays, in the last 17 regular season games against the Yankees, they're 14-3, and including the AL Divisional Series, they're 17-5 the last 22 games against the Yankees. And Cole, as I mentioned, big favorite, minus 225. The total's at 7.5. Cole's been nothing but spectacular, 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA. If it wasn't for DeGrom, I would say Cole could be considered the best pitcher in baseball. But, you know, the Yankees really can't be trusted. 5-9, worst start since 2016. And Cole versus Tampa, even prior to him coming to the Yankees, is 0-3 with a 4.07 ERA. I don't trust Cole as a big favorite. I know he's been dominant. Every game's a must-win game. That closed-door meeting for Boone didn't help too much. They came out and got smoked yesterday. Kettridge is getting the start, and then you got Ryan Yarbrough. The total of this game is at 7.5 at the Yankee game. I think that the Yankees are going to find that the bats are going to finally come to life and put some runs on the board here. I can't lay the wood. Just not doing it. I don't play big favorites in baseball. If I feel it's going to be feel something's going to win like that, I'd rather just go with the total. Total 7.5. I think Yanks bats could put up 5 runs and go over the total.
All right. Joe, thank you. Always a pleasure having you on. And again, Joe, brought to you by PlaySugarHouse.com. Visit PlaySugarHouse.com for full details. Must be located in New Jersey. Of course, 21 and older, gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER, and of course by Infinity of Inglewood in New Jersey. Joe, always a pleasure having you on. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you.